Let's get down to business this morning. So we're going to talk about this guy, Jonah, in the series Overboard. And I just want to start by asking you a question. And it's a pretty serious question. I'm not going to tell you to answer the question or to share your answer with somebody else because it's also personal. It's a question that only you can answer. And the question is, how are you and God these days? You know, how is your relationship with God? It's a pretty simple question. Maybe you've never heard the Christian faith framed up this way, like a relationship with God, or how am I God these days, or how are you and God? And are you near to God, or are you far from him? Are you indifferent to God, or are you excited for God? How are you and God today? I know it's personal, but it's a really important question, because the reality is we're never in a neutral position with God. We're never just like sitting still, stagnant, just fine, okay. My grandfather used to call me and my brother the Fine Brothers because we would always say, we're fine. How are you guys doing? We're fine. We'd always be fine. And the thing about our relationship with God is we're either moving towards him and making him more and more a part of our life, centering our life around Jesus, or we're moving away from him. And just kind of thinking of God as like, you know what, I'm doing okay. I'm doing enough to get by. Let me just check the box and come back next Sunday. And we're either one of those two places. And we can't always tell where somebody's at. You know, you can come on a Sunday morning and people might be smiling and you might think everybody's doing okay. You even see some volunteers that are here and you're like, wow, they must be really spiritual because they volunteer here. They come early and stay a little bit later. Or even the guy on the stage. And you know, from church to church, he must be okay. And the reality is, I'll at least admit here, I'm not always okay. Some days I'm good and connected to God, but other days I'm not. I press through and trust in faith that God's going to continue to use whatever we do here at United. But just by appearance, we can't judge where people are at with God. It's a personal question that really you and can only answer by yourself. And Jonah is the story of another guy, kind of like a pastor, who would get up and speak on behalf of God and talk to people who were gathered to hear and learn about God from him. He was called a prophet, and when he spoke, people listened to him. It was really an honor to be a prophet, and we want to take a look at what Jonah does with this honor this morning, but I want to give you the Cliff Note version of this story of Jonah. You might be unfamiliar with this story. It's kind of a more popular story. A lot of people have heard of it, but in case you haven't, I have a couple pictures with me this morning to help share the Cliff Note version of Jonah with you. And so God told Jonah, and you can see there a picture of Jonah there, and to go to Nineveh. And instead, Jonah ran away on a boat. There was a bad storm while he was on the boat, and then Jonah got thrown off the boat to stop the storm. That's what we're going to check out today. Then a fish swallowed Jonah, and that's where the story starts to get a little bit more unbelievable. And Jonah, while he was in the fish, prayed for mercy for 3 days. And 3 days later, this fish spat him out onto dry land, and God again told Jonah to go to Nineveh. And so he went to Nineveh this time, and he started to preach the message that God gave him, that God is going to destroy Nineveh. But the people of Nineveh, they cried out for mercy, and God did not destroy Nineveh. But here's the part of the story that maybe you didn't read in your kid's Bible that is omitted a lot of times. Jonah was actually angry with God. And then he went away and he threw himself a pity party. The whole story of Jonah is like, it's one of the worst endings of a Bible story that I can think of personally, but it has one of the greatest lessons that I look forward to talking about and us talking about in a couple of weeks. But we're just focusing on the first part of this story. And here's the thing about the whole story for the next 3 weeks that we're going to be studying Jonah together. Is it's not a story about Jonah, and it's not a story about this big fish that comes along to swallow him. It's a story about God, and it's a story about how God relates to people. It's a story about God's heart for people. It's a story about, more specifically, God's heart for you and I this morning and how we can relate to God. And even though we're distant by many years and different cultures from Jonah, we're going to find pretty quickly that we can connect with Jonah. And because here's the thing, I think there's a lot of Jonahs in this room this morning. And I say that because I know that I'm a Jonah. And I can relate to this story. And we're going to start all the way at the beginning. So if you have a Bible with you and you haven't opened it up yet, you can go ahead and open that to the book of Jonah. If you grabbed a Bible in the back, it's on page 436. And if you don't have a Bible with you or anything like that and you're worried I'm not going to be able to follow along, we'll have the verses on the screen for you. And we'll start right at the beginning, so the very first verse and first chapter of this story, where it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the city, the great city of Nineveh, and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." So God speaks to Jonah. This is kind of the message that he's supposed to speak to them. And it was common for God to speak this way to people during that day through this guy called a prophet. And it was a real honor to be a prophet. And what do we see Jonah doing with this honor? Is it says, "But Jonah ran away from the Lord. And he headed for Tarshish. And he went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port." So Jonah kind of goes to the local travel agency and he says, "You know that city Nineveh? Get me as far away from that place as possible." And the question that we have to ask is, why would a prophet who for years, Jonah's been listening to God and following God for all these years, speaking on his behalf, and then all of a sudden he gets this assignment and he doesn't want to go. He just calls it in, hangs it up. He goes to the port and he says, "I'm going somewhere else." And to get a picture of what he's actually doing here, I actually have a map to understand the geography of the decision that Jonah's making. So he goes down to Joppa, and you see Joppa right there. So he's told by God to go 550 miles northeast to Nineveh. But instead of going to New York City, he goes to LA. He goes to 2,500 miles to Tarshish. And about that time, that's about as far away that you could go. There were no other tickets farther than that town. And this is the decision that Jonah's making. God tells him to go this way, and he goes that way. And the question we have to ask is, why in the world is he not going to Nineveh? If you're familiar with this story, Jonah gets a real hard time. People are always like, "Yeah, Jonah disobeyed God." And they make it look like a pretty trivial thing, like Jonah doesn't like care about God at all. But here's the reality of Nineveh. Nineveh is the capital of a nation called Assyria. And Assyria and Israel, because Jonah was an Israelite, were at odds with each other. In fact, the Assyrians had had their way with Israel. And they were wicked. And so not only had they had their way at war with them, but they were guilty of war crimes. They were guilty of sex crimes. There was corruption in their government. There were phrases used to talk about Nineveh to describe it like the city of lies or the city of blood. It was one of the first and original sin cities that existed. And so it's an incredibly wicked city. And so why did Jonah not want to go there? Well, imagine asking a Jewish person in the 1940s to go have a seat with Adolf Hitler and say, "Hey, could you change your mind about this whole war thing?" Sounds pretty ridiculous. Can you imagine a family member of a victim of 9/11 saying, "You know, I'm going to fly across the sea, see if I could find some Al-Qaeda guys and ask them, you know, that could they stop what they're doing because Jesus loves them and cares about them and wants to have a relationship with them?" You know, at first we kind of think like that would take a great act of love, but even if somebody did that, they would still be kind of crazy, because at worst they might get thrown in prison, but they'd probably get killed. Actually, at best they might be thrown in prison. And what Jonah's thinking about is like, this is a suicide mission to go to Nineveh. So don't give Jonah a hard time for saying no to this. But the reality is he says no. And you and I, there's probably sometimes we say no to God. God asks us to do something. We read about how God calls us to live in this book called the Bible. And we try to learn more and more God's ways for us. And yet, we don't want to stick it out and be faithful. We don't want to flee that situation that's a bad situation. And at some point in our life, we all say to God, "Nope, not today. I'm not going to go to Tarshish, or I'm not going to go to Nineveh. I'm going somewhere else." And I bet that's all of us, probably every single day to some degree, greater or lesser degree, that we run from God. There's two primary ways that we can do this. And the first way is there's something we shouldn't do, but we do it. So we know that God tells us not to do certain things, and you know, we don't want to hurt other people. We don't want to, or we do want to honor God with our life. And God speaks to us through our conscience, and we do things that we're not supposed to do. But another category is, there's something we should do, and we don't do it. And that's the category that we're kind of in this book called Jonah, in this story. And it's something that you know you're supposed to do. I know I should, you know, read my Bible to learn about God. I know I should go to church to kind of be spiritually fed, but I'm just not doing that right now. And we run from God to greater or lesser degrees in these two main categories. And I just want to kind of out myself this morning to let you know, I'm not just saying like, oh, I'm Jonah too, and I run from God sometimes. I run from God. There's this phrase that I love that says, pray like it depends on God and work like it depends on you. So I want to pray like it depends on God, like I'm so committed to God that I pray regularly and pray these bold prayers of faith, and I want to work hard in life too, like it depends on me, and be faithful. But the reality is I'm really good at the work part, but not so good at the prayer part. I know I should pray. I know I should pray a lot more than I do. I know that if I did, that I'd have a stronger relationship with God at times. I know that if I prayed more, that I would lead my family and care for them better. I know that I would lead this church better. But for some reason, I don't quite get it. I work harder, stay up later, get busier, schedule more meetings, and just put my head down and grind it out. This past week, you might have heard that as a church, we are praying for and asking God for a space that be more permanent. And it's just something that is kind of a far ahead goal for us. And we just want to make sure we're being proactive by praying about it and looking. And there was a space that I drove by, and I was like, I want to pick up the phone and call the person on the sign and look into it. And that's kind of my inclination, my instinct. Like, just, all right, I see it, let's do it. And I just had a pause because I'm in the middle of Jonah's story. And I know that this is the area for me that needs to change in my life, that the area that I'm running from God. And I just said, you know what? I'm not going to call. I'm going to get out of my car, and I'm going to walk around for 15 minutes, and I'm just going to pray. And I went back to that place a couple other times this week and just prayed. Because even though I do need to work hard, you might say, hey, it's not working hard now. So, but I'm praying. And I'll make that call eventually at some point. But that's how I'm running from God. You might say, wow, that's not really that big of a deal. You know, there's a lot of worse ways you can run from God. Really? How am I different than anybody that doesn't believe in God, functionally, if I'm not regularly praying and asking God for help and strength? You know, let's not compare the way we obey or disobey God. You know, sin is sin, obedience is obedience. And what we're going to see here is a string of consequences that come from Jonah running from God in the specific way that he runs from God. Because he shows us the consequences of a life when we run in the other direction. And there's five pictures that we get real quick in this first chapter. We see what it looks like when we don't listen to the voice of God in our life. But before we get into that, I just want to ask you real quick, what's that thing that you're doing that God doesn't want you to be doing? Or what's that thing that you should be doing that God says, I want you to do this? Be small or big. But what is that thing for you? And think about that as we talk through these things and see if you can identify with Jonah. Or maybe your past story could identify with him, because when we fail to listen to God, this is what it could look like. In verse 3, it goes on to say, Jonah, he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down to it to go with them to Tarshish. And I'm thankful that's the last time I have to say that city's name today. So away from the presence of the Lord. So you see here right away, Jonah pays a price. Like, he literally pays a price. He goes and buys a ticket to run away from God. Not many of us do that. We go and pay money to sin against God intentionally. But he does. But he also pays a figurative price. And that's what we're going to see, is the figurative price he pays. And there's a simple word that's used repeatedly in this first chapter, four different times, to help us see how he's running from God and what the consequence is. And the word is down. He went down to Joppa. He went down to the ship. When he got to the ship, he went down into it and laid down, and then he got thrown down into the ocean. You see, when we run from God and we don't live out the way he desires for us to live, life goes down. That's just the reality and the picture that we have. So how does this relate to us? How can we connect the dots to our life? What are some of the instructions that maybe God gives us? Maybe we know that God wants us to live in community with other Christians, but we've kind of been pushing off that we don't want to be around other Christians. Maybe just the Sunday thing is enough, but not going to a group or not, you know, building a friendship with a Christian that can help me follow Jesus. And there's an instruction to those that follow Jesus to gather together, to help one another through this journey. But because of one reason or another, you're just like, I'm not interested in that right now. But at some point in life, when you start to feel alone and far from God, you start asking questions, why does nobody care about me? And if nobody else cares about me, does God even care about me? There's the downward spiral that's connected to the decision that we made to not follow God in the first place. Or maybe we think, God, you know, I'm not gonna listen to your financial wisdom. You know, this whole giving 10% or being generous with money, you know, there's no way I can afford to do that. You know, you don't understand my bank account, the bills that I have to pay. And the reality is 100% of our money is not as much as 90% with God's blessing. Because 90% with God's blessing goes a lot farther than 100%. And what happens when we don't follow God's instruction in that area of our finances, things go down, bills add up, debt gets deeper. And before we know it, we're just too deep. I had a friend years ago, he's like, I don't know how to do this thing called tithing, Tim. And I said, just give it a try. The Bible actually says, test him in this way. And so I'm your pastor, give somewhere else. I know that might sound self-serving to give to the church. Just give somewhere else. I don't really care because I'm for you with this. And for 2 months he gave. And his story was, I don't know how, but it is 90% plus blessing. I don't know how God did it and worked it out. But maybe it's just because I'm more thoughtful about how I spend my money, or maybe it's just God is blessing me in different ways. And he found the blessing of financially honoring God. Or maybe it's not wanting to honor God with boundaries related to sex. God gives us boundaries related to how we use our bodies sexually. And you know what? You know what? I feel like I'm okay. This isn't that bad. But before you know it, there might be health problems or scares of a pregnancy. Maybe there's a bad reputation going around about you because people start to hear how you think about this area and this topic. Maybe there's destroyed relationships because you didn't honor God with those boundaries. And because of these things, we go down in life. The price to be paid from ignoring God's boundaries is this price. And I'm willing to bet that a lot of us here this morning are paying a price today for some past decision that we made. You know, past decision to not honor God in some way, and it affects us. But it also affects other people. The second picture we have, let's check it out, it's in verse 4. It says, then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. So that God sends this wind, the storm is so violent that the ship is about to break in half. All the sailors were afraid, each of them cried out to his own God. They threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship, but Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. I mean, Jonah goes against God, but it's not just him who's impacted and affected on this boat. There's others that are going down too. Because when we go down, we take others with us sometimes. When we make a bad choice, we may not realize it, but other people are connected to that bad choice. That financial decision that we made to get this purchase that might have been a little bit too much, and now we can't pay the bills over here, and we're facing maybe having to get kicked out of our apartment. What about that small group? I mentioned small groups. We're gonna be launching groups in 2 weeks, announcing groups that are coming up in the fall. It's like, you know what? That's not for me. I'm not really interested in developing relationships. And I'm not saying you're dishonoring God because you don't go to a small group. But if you don't have faith to build some Christian friends, that's what God calls us to. But what if that group of people needed you? Maybe it wasn't for you to go and grow, but maybe somebody was there that you could have helped and supported. Maybe the topic is depression that you can identify with, because not everybody understands or gets that. And this person's in that group struggling, feeling misunderstood, and people don't get me. But if you were the one that was supposed to be in that group for that other person, that person's going down in that situation. You know, other people go down too, not just us, when we don't honor God. There's a third picture that I want us to think about, because sometimes we could be going down, we don't even realize it. Think about the story. What's happening on this boat? There's a huge storm, and who are the ones that are being rocked by the boat, literally and figuratively? They're scared to death. It's all the sailors, right? all the sailors are freaking out. They're throwing stuff over the ship. They're praying to all their different gods. They're saying, save us. They're scared to death. But where is Jonah? He's asleep. He's down below. And he's out cold. It says he was a deep sleep. You see, everything on the deck is falling apart, but Jonah is right at peace. Where is he? You see, a lot of people might believe when they're not doing what God says and not experiencing any consequences, that it must be okay. You're like, hey, you know, that purchase for that BMW, $10 an hour is minimum wage now. I could definitely afford that, right? Or maybe it's a little more serious, like, he hit me, but he doesn't always do that. I know he really likes me, and he loves me, and I just feel a peace about it. What's that thing? Maybe you've said that before in your life, like, hey, it feels okay. I know it's probably not okay. I know God's probably not okay with this, and most people probably say that, but you know what? Actually, life is good. I feel at peace. So did Jonah. He was at perfect peace. He was out cold, asleep on that ship. But the third picture we have is when we experience a false peace, when we run from God. When my oldest son, who's now like 10 years old, he's not like 10 years old, he is 10, when he was 4 or 5, when he would get into trouble, he'd run under the dining room table, and maybe you've had a parent, if you're a parent and you've had a child do this too, and he would run and he would lay down and he would cover his eyes under the dining room table. And so if he ever got in trouble and we're kind of running after him, we would know where to find him. And it's soon enough, he started to do that even if we didn't know he did something wrong. We'd find Liam under the dining room table and we're like, all right, man, like, what did you do? We didn't even know he did anything wrong, but he's like giving himself away. And sometimes I think that's what our relationship with God looks like when we feel like we're getting away with something. We're like that little kid that feels like nobody sees me. I'm okay. I'm at peace under this table. It's going to go away. There's no consequences. And the reality is, God is like, hey, man, I see you. It's not all right, but I still love you. Still care about you. I'm going to be for you. You know, it might be hard to hear that God's not okay with some of these things in our life, even when we feel like, hey, it seems like it's okay in my heart. And the reality is the Bible teaches that our heart is just not the best barometer for judging what's good or what's not good. It actually says sometimes our heart deceives us and tricks us. There's only one reliable barometer for what's right in our life, and it's that book we hold called the Bible. That instructs us, like, these are God's best ways for us to live. And this is kind of like a heavier message today as we get into Jonah 1. It's kind of like just shooting straight with you and getting to the point this morning. You might be like, first time here at United, like, wow, this is pretty intense. You know, what kind of place is this place? Do they always talk this way? And we do say that we're a place that we don't judge. Come as you are. We're going to love you. You don't have to worry about people looking at you with funny looks or being a punk to you. If you're struggling in life, we're going to love you right where you're at, and we're going to be for you. And at the same time, we're just going to be up front with you too, though, about what the Bible teaches about having a relationship with Jesus and following him, because we want you to have the best life in this world, and the best life is following Jesus Christ. And Jonah just gets right to it in this first chapter about these consequences of sin. But the story, it eventually gets better, but not until we continue to see a couple more pictures here, where this story goes on in verse 6, where it says the captain comes down to Jonah because he notices that Jonah isn't on the deck there. And he comes down and he says, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he's going to take notice of us. Maybe he'll take note of us so that we won't perish. And so he's kind of like shaking them, saying like, hey, all these other guys, they're upstairs praying the Ricky Bobby prayer of Talladega Nights, you know, praying to the Jewish God, the Jesus God, the God of Allah, the Tom Cruise God, you know, that we've talked about here before, that type of prayer. And Jonah's like, hey, we don't know what he does, actually. We don't know if he prays or not. It's actually likely that he doesn't pray because it doesn't say anything about it. The story just continues to go on saying, then the sailors said to each other, because nothing changed, come, let us cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity. So they cast lots, and lot fell to Jonah. So they asked him, tell us who's responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What's your country? What kind of people are you? It's really interesting that they think somebody on the boat is responsible for this. They're right. But it's just an interesting way to think. And he answers, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And they start to connect the dots of their situation. You know, the sea that is being stirred up right now so violently, you worship the God who controls this sea? And it goes on to say, at this, they were terrified. And they asked him, what did you do? And I like the parenthetical comment here, because it says they knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. Like, I have no idea how that information was came about, you know, when you board the ship and they say business or pleasure, like, why are you here? And Jonah's like one of those, like, too much information kind of guys. Well, I'm actually running from God. He told me to go here and I don't want to go there. And it's like, just saying business or pleasure. That's all I'm asking. But he went on to tell them the whole story, apparently, that he's running from God. And so they knew, they're connecting all of these dots to, oh my goodness, you ran away from God. Your God is the one that made the sea, and they're going nuts right now. They're scared. And they're asking Jonah, what are we supposed to do in light of this? But before we move on to that, let's pause to see this fourth picture, because in this moment, we have to realize that there are people that don't believe in God that are more interested in following God than the guy who's there that actually does follow God and is not following God. What's that called? Hypocrisy. This is another thing that happens when we run from God. And Jonah plays the hypocrite perfectly here. Because they say, what God do you serve? He says, oh, I worship the Lord, the God of heaven and earth. With my mouth, I will say I worship God, but with my life, I'm running from him. Do we do that? With our mouth or with our actions? Maybe we show up on a Sunday morning, but with our life, people will look at our life and be like, oh my goodness, your life is a train wreck. I don't want to go to your church and I don't want to be involved with any type of religion or organization that you're associated with. I was walking into the grocery store just a couple weeks ago, and there was a woman there with her young daughter who had a sign to help her with food. So I went up and talked to her. I said, what kind of food do you like? And asked her a couple questions and went into the grocery store to get some groceries, just going to pick up a couple extras for her. And behind me, this lady storms in with her son saying, I can't believe that woman's putting her daughter out there on display like that to get some food. She should just go up to social services and so forth. And then she goes on to say this. She goes, you know, I remember volunteering with our church at that one place. And I was like, whoop, hold on a second. And I'm too cowardly to say anything to her at that point. And I probably had five conversations in my head since then with what I would have liked to say or what I should have said. Maybe even saying you were pretty self-righteous. And I would just say, yes, I am. And I would admit that. But I'm just thinking, what if I wasn't a Christ follower? What if that was the picture that I have of Jesus? Like, oh yeah, I hear all these Christians all the time talking a big game about let's help other people. But when I hear her walking through the grocery store out loud talking that way, I just don't want to be associated to that. That's exactly what Jonah's doing here. He's playing the hypocrite. And that's what we do when we run from God. Whether it's seen or not, we play the hypocrite. But God is a God of grace. And the story continues to go on. It gets worse in one other way, but there's a huge redemption at the end of it. It says the sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do now? Because they think that he has the answer. You know, you're the bad omen here. What should we do? Do we do a little dance? Do we say some type of prayer? What does it look like? And Jonah just says, why don't you just pick me up, throw me into the sea? It's going to calm the sea, and I know that's my fault that this great storm has come. You might be familiar with the story, and you might know where the story is going, but one thing you might not know is that these guys actually came to like Jonah for some reason, and what happens next is instead, they didn't do that. The men did their best to row back to land. They could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. See, these guys are fighting for Jonah's life when Jonah's resigned. Just throw me in the sea, I don't even care anymore. Has it ever happened in your life when people care more about you than you care about yourself? You've given up on life. It's kind of like the final picture and phase of running from God when we resign and give up in life. And so Picture and Revive has given up on it. Maybe that's where you're at this morning. Or maybe you know this story in your life. The storms of your life have ripped things up so much that you just want to give up. You don't want to exist anymore. You don't want to talk to anybody. Maybe it's a divorce that's completely taken you by surprise, hit the pause button of your life. You'd rather say, let's just be done with it. Maybe it's depression where the days are really dark. And what's the point of this? I don't want to talk to anybody. So why even go through life? And you just want to give up of life itself and leave. Maybe this morning you might be wondering, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this situation. I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. I don't know how God is going to rescue me. And I'm sure Jonah kind of had the same thought. I don't know how God's going to make this situation any different. And we might think that this story and the storm of this story is the punishment for Jonah, that God's punishing and coming after Jonah. But I think God's trying to rescue Jonah. I think our God is a God that loves us and is more interested in rescuing us than punishing us. I wonder if this storm is a wake-up call to Jonah. Have you ever considered that in your life? The storms that come your way, the things that are challenging or hard, might be God trying to wake you up and get you on the right path instead of punishing you for not being on it? You see, sometimes God sends the storm to rescue us from that downward spiral, from the wrong direction that we're going, and to get us back. But this is what happens. You kind of know where the story is going. We've hinted at it if you've never heard the story before. These guys that are on the boat, they cry out to the Lord because all of a sudden now they are believers in God. And they say, please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. So I guess they made a decision somewhere between the last verse and this verse. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased. And they took Jonah and they threw him overboard and the raging sea grew calm. Sometimes we just hear stories and it's like, yep, that's the next part of the story. Let's move on to the next part of the story. But just imagine yourself being on a boat. I can't imagine this. I had a friend be on a cruise ship that was in a horrible, it was in the news for this horrible storm that it was caught in. It was rocking back and forth. And I can just imagine what would happen if somebody got thrown off the boat and all of a sudden the storm was done. The sea was calm. People would be freaked out of their minds. Be like, what just happened? How did the storm, you know, that was, we were scared we're gonna die, all of a sudden things are now calm. And that's what happens in this moment. And the guys, they're terrified because of this. And they're not even sure what to do because they do throw Jonah overboard and now he's like treading water, everything's calm. They're probably like, hey, let's pull him back on the boat. There's probably some discussion, we don't know because it's not in there, but like, hey, the storm's fine, but if he comes back on the boat, the storm's gonna come back, so let's just keep him there. And they keep him in the water and they go off to Tarshish and I wonder what that felt like. Like, hope you can tread water well, good luck. I don't know how you leave somebody in the middle of the sea, but they do. And they leave Jonah off in the middle of the sea and go off. And sometimes we might think like, hey, I've made such a mess of my life that, you know, not only is it hopeless, but I can't help other people. But look what the response of these guys are. It says that at this, the men greatly feared the Lord and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. There was a boat headed for another town full of men that didn't follow God with one guy that did follow God. That now is a boat that is full of men that follow God. Sometimes God can even use our disobedience. He can even use our shortcomings, our failures, our sins against him to help other people come back to God. Maybe you don't want to humble yourself and admit that you're not right with God because you're fearful, what will people think about you? Well, the guys here, what they thought about Jonah's God is they turned to him and they worshiped him. You've never made such a mess of it that God can't redeem it. And that's the first story of redemption here in Jonah. It's not about Jonah, but it's about those guys on the boat that Jonah rubbed shoulders with. And when he admitted his wrong, they turned and worshiped God. But what about Jonah? You know, the storm was because of him. And is he going to drown at sea? Well, we know this next line where it says, now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. It's interesting there, just think of that language, that God provided the fish, God sent the storm. And all this time, God's redirecting Jonah back to where he wants him. He's not being punished at all through this process. And we're going to talk about that if that's too hard for you to believe, this fish coming and swallowing. We'll talk a little bit about that next week, but what I'll focus on right here is this phrase, 3 days and three nights. Because in your Bible, it's probably not in there, but you can draw it in if you want. It's just like this big arrow that points to the right in the book of Jonah, meaning like look forward to the rest of the story because there was somebody else that was somewhere for 3 days and three nights. There was a better act of mercy. There was a greater rescue to come that Jonah is just foreshadowing. Looking forward to a man who would live a perfect life and die a death where he would be buried for 3 days and three nights and would rise again. Jesus Christ even said himself that he predicted his death. And he said, when I die, he referred to it as the sign of Jonah. Meaning like, hey, I believe this Jonah story was true. And the sign of Jonah, how he was in the belly, I'm going to be in a figurative belly as well. It's the ground after I die, but I'm going to rise again. Jonah's going to rise again. But his rising again is pointing to a better rising again. That of Jesus Christ, who came to make our running away from God right, to get us back on the path to connect with God. That's what we're all about here at United Church, is helping people connect to God. And if you're here this morning and you're running from God, or you can see areas where you're just not right, there's hope for you because of 3 days and three nights. There was a guy who went to sleep and he woke up again, so that you can wake up to God and experience new life in God. And you need to know that the message that God has for you this morning is not, man, you really made a mess of it. That's not the message of the Bible. The message of the Bible is, let's get you okay. Let's get you bandaged up. Let's get you healed. Let's get you back on track. That's the message of God. It's the message of this church. And if you're a Jonah this morning, this is the place for you. And so I want to ask you, how are you in God? How are you in God these days? Where are you running from God right now in your life? Maybe it's a really specific thing. Maybe it's just a general thing that you're not really sure about. If you can't answer it right now, I encourage you to take this week, once a day, pray, God, how am I running from you? Is there a way that I'm running from you that I can't see? Because I experience peace, but it might be a false peace. Is there a way that I'm running from you? And I want us to take just a moment right now to reflect on that. And we're going to reflect on it in a specific way because there's hope for us. And we remember this hope every week through something that's called communion. And we take bread and juice to remember that guy, Jesus Christ, who went to the grave for 3 days and three nights and rose again. And he gives us life when we trust and believe in that. And so I want us to meditate not just on how we're running from God, but there's hope to turn around. And there's strength offered and provided to us through Jesus Christ. Let's pray.